From Los Angeles, this is Sundown Lounge. Show number 195. It's Friday, October 23rd, 009.
And sure enough, in the morning, some strange things began to happen in Willie's home. But outdoors, strange things were happening too.
Okay, that was The Awful Green Things from Outer Space by Clouseau, a dark lounge outfit from Texas, and a perfect tune to open this year's Spooktacular, a Halloween beach party complete with surf music, some rockabilly, some classic verse, and even a little psychobilly to go along with the cinematic backdrop. Hey, we got a lot of show, so let's go. Oh, by the way, all the tunes this week come from the PodSafe Music Network. Hey, welcome to Sundown Lounge. This is a laid-back and often explicit, you bet your ass, and yeah, somewhere in the show this week, a weekly podzine of music, spoken word, weird science, interesting audio goodies, and occasional etc. My website is dublarrywinfield.com.
This podcast is a member of the Association of Poetry Podcasting
at poetrypodcasting.org.
You can also find my show on Red House Art Radio at dubredhouseartradio.org. Okay. Geek Notes is still on hiatus, and guess what? The show is going back on hiatus until I finish these final chapters of my podcast novel, Banjo Strings. Not to worry, though. I got one chapter down, the second almost done, and after I get through the third, I'll start releasing the chapters then while I work on the final epilogue chapter. Now, I have to admit, I've been making great progress the past few weekends at the writer's retreat I've been going to. This isn't a rustic cabin in the middle of the woods cut off from civilization. Hey, one of my buddy's friends lives out in Pacific Palisades in a house with a pool and a barbecue grill in the backyard and college football on the TV and an ocean view from the front. And yeah, Christian Bale lives on the same block, but hey, it's L.A. You just nod hello and go on about your business. Here, he's a neighbor. At night, the low murmur of the surf replaces the traffic noise downtown. And in the morning, I watch hummingbirds outside my window, instead of the early bird junkies walking past late sleepers on the sidewalk. But anyway, look for Chapter 21, Part 3, and the wrap-up of the novel coming next month. Geek Notes details are on the Map Room page. If you have promos, pluggers, gig info, an art opening, etc., send me an email. The address is sundownlounge@larrywinfield.com. Okay, the open mic stage, my extremely eclectic spooky mix of new Podsafe music and spoken word, continues with a nicely packed set. We begin with Head Blown Off by Cretan 66, a kick-ass band from Kansas City, followed by The Young Werewolves, a psychobilly surf trio from Philly, singing Evil Soul. After that, we have a poem by C.S. Lewis, Satan Speaks, from the book Spirits in Bondage. Got it at LibriVox, and the poem is read by Robert Garrison. Following that is 666 Volts by the Chris Farr Band from Japan. Hey, inspired by video games, movies, and the surf band Man or Astro Man. And we wrap the set with The Cemetery, the first of two songs from Denver-based surf rock group Get Three Coffins Ready. Hey, this band has so many cool spooky surf tunes, I could do a whole show on them. Yeah.
I don't want to go down to the picture show if they ain't got no movies that know how to rock and roll. See your head blown off. Head blown. I want to see your car. Space. It ain't some toxic waste. It keeps you 10 feet long and now it's chewing on your face. Well, that's a price you pay. You humans gonna have to pay. Cause you're with me in technology. You only understand part way. Wow. Keep the latest Meryl Streep. I wanna see a movie with the psychopathic creep and cut your head right off. They shut it down and told the fool. Yeah, but they ain't got no movies, know how to rock and roll. Yeah, they ain't got no movies, know how to rock and roll.
Thank you. Satan speaks. I am nature, the mighty mother. I am the law, ye have none other. I am the flower and the dewdrop fresh. I am the lust in your itching flesh. I am the battle's filth and strain. I am the widow's empty pain. I am the sea to smother your breath. I am the bomb, the falling death. I am the fact and the crushing reason to thwart your fantasy's newborn treason. I am the spider making her net. I am the beast with jaws blood wet. I am a wolf that follows the sun, and I will catch him ere day be done.
Yeah. night of total terror.
Okay, second set begins with The Ghost of Dragstrip Hollow by the Tsunami Experiment. Sci-fi surf sounds from out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, featuring Davy the Fly from Aliens and Strangers and the Lebowskis. Next is some smooth rockabilly, a piece called Phantasma by David Parker from North Carolina. A nice sound from just a guy in a basement. And after that, we have The Curse by John Donne, courtesy of LibriVox. Then we get a little theremin action from Oregon band Wave Sauce, a tune called Mosquito Serenade.
Looks like a nightmare factory.
John's laugh. Let's go back.
Now, there must be a logical explanation for that noise.
Yeah, a big, fat, logical, supernatural ghost. What?
Old John Abernathy the First. It's an evil place. The last woman who lived there was actually scared to death by a monster.
Thank you.
The Curse by John Donne. Read for LibriVox.org by Madmouth. Whoever guesses, thinks, or dreams he knows, who is my mistress, whither by this curse, him only for his purse may some dull whore to love dispose, and then yield unto all that are his foes. May he be scorned by one whom all else scorn, forswear to others what to her hath sworn, with fear of missing, shame of getting, torn. Madness his sorrow, gout his cramps, may he make by but thinking who hath made him such, and may he feel no touch of conscience but of fame, and be anguished not that 'twas sin but that 'twas she. Or may he for her virtue reverence one that hates him only for impotence, and equal traitors be she in a sense. May he dream treason and believe that he meant to perform it, and confess and die, and no record tell why. His sons, which none of his may be, inherit nothing but his infamy. Or may he so long parasites have fed that he would fain be theirs whom he hath bred, and at the last be circumcised for bread. The venom of all stepdames, gamesters gall, what tyrants and their subjects interwish, what plants, mine, beasts, foul fish, can contribute all ill, which all prophets or poets spake, and all which shall be annexed in schedules unto this by me, fall on that man. For if it be a she, nature beforehand hath outcursed me.
Okay, last set starts with Walk the Weirdo by Basement from Auburn, Washington. Nice roots rock surf tune. Oh, next, another poem from C.S. Lewis, Spooks. Now, interesting note about these poems. They were published under the pseudonym Clive Hamilton during World War I. And in a 1918 letter to a friend, Lewis said these poems were mainly strung around the idea that nature is wholly diabolical and malevolent, and that God, if he exists, is outside of and in opposition to the cosmic arrangements. You know, that kind of reminds me of something I heard the Dalai Lama say once. Man versus nature. Nature versus man. God versus nature. Nature versus God. Man versus God. God versus man. Very funny religion. Well, anyway, the next song is Time Paradox by Get Three Coffins Ready, followed by Halloween in Terrortown, a little tune from the BC Surfers, as in Baltic Sea Surfers from Latvia. Oh, and we're going to wrap the whole set with Attacke Godzilla by the Happy Happy Jihads from Germany. Well, originally it was a three-piece surf rock group, and now it's just one guy who's doing songs as psychotherapy. And he says it works.
Last night I dreamed that I was come again unto the house where my beloved dwells, after long years of wandering and pain. And I stood out beneath the drenching rain, and all the street was bare and black with night, but in my true love's house was warmth and light. Yet I could not draw near nor enter in, and long I wondered if some secret sin or old unhappy anger held me fast. Till suddenly it came into my head that I was killed long since and lying dead, only a homeless wraith that way had passed. So thus I found my true love's house again, and stood unseen amid the winter night, and the lamp burned within a rosy light, and the wet street was shining in the rain.
We'll be right back. Tokyo Bay.
A monster! A monster will set fire to the city and trample on the people who try to run away. A monster!
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
And
powered by Libsyn.
Okay. Venue Verite is my segment for interesting audio goodies and occasional etc. This week we have a classic otherworldly tale by H.P. Lovecraft, The Terrible Old Man. Somebody said last year that my writing reminded him of Lovecraft, but I don't quite see it. I mean, I tried to get into Lovecraft when I was growing up, but the language was overly strange and flowery, and, well, frankly, I discovered that Lovecraft was a flaming elitist who only considered Anglo-Saxons truly civilized. Hey, nobody else was even considered white. He didn't consider the Irish or the Italians or the Poles or the Germans. He didn't consider any of them white. And he had a problem with Jews, despite the fact that for a short while he was married to a woman who was Jewish. And she got tired of reminding him when he was spouting some anti-Semitic shit. But anyway, lots of people still see Lovecraft as a major 20th century horror and science fiction, well, horror influence. So, what the hell? Enjoy.
This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. That's LibriVox.org. Recorded by me, Glenn Hallstrom, also known as Smokestack Jones. SmokestackJones@gmail.com. You'll also find my blog at TooMuchJohnson.blogspot.com. The Terrible Old Man by H.P. Lovecraft. It was the design of Angelo Ricci and Joe Sasnack and Manuel Silva to call on the Terrible Old Man. This old man dwells all alone in a very ancient house on Water Street near the sea, and is reputed to be both exceedingly rich and exceedingly feeble, which forms a situation very attractive to men of the profession of Messrs. Ricci, Sasnack, and Silva, for that profession was nothing less dignified than robbery. The inhabitants of Kingsport say and think many things about the Terrible Old Man, which generally keep him safe from the attention of gentlemen like Mr. Ricci and his colleagues, despite the almost certain fact that he hides a fortune of indefinite magnitude somewhere about his musty and venerable abode. He is, in truth, a very strange person, believed to have been a captain of East India clipper ships in his day, so that no one can remember when he was young, and so taciturn that few knew his real name. Among the gnarled trees in his front yard of his aged and neglected place, he maintains a strange collection of large stones, oddly grouped and painted so that they resemble the idols of some obscure Eastern temple. The collection frightens away most of the small boys who love to taunt the Terrible Old Man about his long white hair and beard, or to break into the small paned windows of his dwelling with wicked missiles. But there are other things which frighten the older and more curious folk, who sometimes steal up to the house to peer in through the dusty panes. These folk say that on a table in a large bare room on the ground floor are many peculiar bottles, in each a small piece of lead suspended pendulum-wise from a string. And they say that the terrible old man talks to these bottles, addressing them by such names as Jack, Scarface, Long Tom, Spanish Joe, Peters, and Mate Ellis. And whenever he speaks to a bottle, the little lead pendulum within makes certain definite vibrations, as if in answer. Those who have watched the tall, lean, terrible old man in these peculiar conversations do not watch him again. But Angelo Ricci and Joe Sasnack and Manuel Silva were not of Kingsport blood. They were of that new and heterogeneous alien stock which lies outside the charmed circle of New England life and traditions, and they saw in the terrible old man merely a tottering, almost helpless graybeard, who could not walk without the aid of his knotted cane and whose thin, weak hands shook pitifully. They were really quite sorry in their way for the lonely, unpopular old fellow, whom everybody shunned, and at whom the dogs barked singularly. But business is business, and to a robber whose soul is in his profession, there is a lure and a challenge about a very old and very feeble man who has no account at the bank, and who pays for his few necessities at a village store with Spanish gold and silver minted 2 centuries ago. Messrs. Ricci, Sasnack, and Silva selected the night of April 11th for their call. Mr. Ricci and Mr. Silva were to interview the poor old gentleman, whilst Mr. Sasnack waited for them in their presumable metallic burden with a covered motor car on Ship Street by the gate in the tall rear wall of the host's grounds. Desire to avoid needless explanations in case of unexpected police intrusions prompted these plans for a quiet and unicentatious departure. As prearranged, the three adventurers started out separately in order to prevent any evil-minded suspicions afterwards. Messrs. Ricci and Silva met at Water Street by the old man's front gate, and although they did not like the way the moon shone down upon the painted stones through the budding branches of the gnarled trees, they had more important things to think about than mere idle superstition. They feared it might be unpleasant work making the terrible old man loquacious concerning his hoarded gold and silver, for aged sea captains are notably stubborn and perverse. Still, he was very old and very feeble, and there were 2 visitors. Messrs. Ricci and Silva were experienced in the art of making unwilling persons voluble, and the screams of a weak and exceptionally vulnerable man can be easily muffled. So they moved up to the one lighted window and heard the terrible old man talking childishly to his bottles with pendulums. Then they donned masks and knocked politely at the weather-stained oaken door. Waiting seemed very long to Mr. Sasnack as he fidgeted restlessly in the covered motor car by the terrible old man's gate on Ship Street. He was more than ordinarily tender-hearted, and he did not like the hideous screams that he had heard in the ancient house just after the hour appointed for the deed. Had he not told his colleagues to be as gentle as possible with the pathetic old sea captain? Very nervously he watched that narrow oaken gate on the high and ivy-clad stone wall. Frequently he consulted his watch and wondered at the delay. Had the old man died before revealing where his treasure was hidden and the thorough search became necessary? Mr. Sasnack did not like to wait so long in the dark in such a place. Then he sensed the soft tread or tapping on the walk inside the gate, heard a gentle fumbling at the rusty latch, and saw the narrow, heavy door swing inward. And in the pallid glow of the single dim street lamp, he strained his eyes to see what his colleagues had brought out of that sinister house which loomed so close behind. But when he looked, he did not see what he had expected, for his colleagues were not there at all, but only the terrible old man, leaning quietly on his knotted cane and smiling hideously. Mr. Sasnack had never before noticed the color of that man's eyes. Now he saw that they were yellow. Little things make considerable excitement in little towns, which is the reason that Kingsport people talked all that spring and summer about the 3 unidentifiable bodies horribly slashed as with many cutlasses and horribly mangled as by the tread of many cruel boot heels which the tide washed in. And some people even spoke of things as trivial as the deserted motor car found on Ship Street, or certain especially inhuman cries, probably of a stray animal or migratory bird, heard in the night by wakeful citizens. But in this idle village gossip, the terrible old man took no interest at all. He was by nature reserved, and when one is aged and feeble, one's reserve is doubly strong. Besides, so ancient a sea captain must have witnessed scores of things much more stirring in the far-off days of his unremembered youth.
This week's music bag comes from the spooky mix I whipped up last year. Normally, I make a fresh music bag, but hey, I'm just trying to get this show out so I can get back to my writing. And hey, if you dig the show, you can subscribe on iTunes and Juice, among other places. Check out my personal podcast, The Patio, my podcast novel, Banjo Strings, the audio version at iTunes and Mevio, and the written chapters at Author Nation. I also have book pages at Autonomy and YouWriteOn.com, where my book's gotten some interesting reviews. I don't really know if I'm going to get any more interesting reviews at YouWriteOn.com because they just changed their submissions guidelines. Before, you could submit up to a limit of 10,000 words. Now they've cut that back down to 4 to 6,000. And it's really cut into what I've been able to put up as a writing sample. So I don't know if there's even enough there for me to get a decent review anymore. But, you know, we'll see. And just to repeat, I'm putting the show back on hiatus until I get more writing done. But I do have some very nice episodes to pick from to recast for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, stay tuned. Hey, I'm Larry, and this is Sundown Lounge from Los Angeles.